Hey friends, if you know me, you likely know that I have a sweet spot in my heart for veterans. My father has a Purple Heart and the scars to show for it. Just recently, I learned that a common side effect of PTSD is hoarding. And those of us with aging parents have seen how quickly a lifetime of memories and keepsakes get stacked in boxes and closets, causing more and more clutter and stress over time. My friends at Floor to Ceiling Home Healing are helping hundreds of folks, veterans included, in residential and commercial settings with decluttering, packing, organizing, itemized liquidations, and even biohazard and hoarding cleanup. They are offering a 20% off discount to our listeners here at Shockin' Y'all. So you can learn more by calling 424-272-8892 or visit their website, www.fchhspaces.com. You can also text Nicole 20, your full name, your phone number, and email to that same phone number, 424-272-8892. You'll receive a 20% off discount just because you're a Shockin' Y'all listener. My friends, we are not meant to do it all alone. The team at FCHH is here to help. Hey, y'all. Welcome to Shock and Y'all, a podcast about our mental and physical fitness, spirituality, and your big, bold life. I'm your host, Nicole Shaka, and I am so grateful you're here. I train bodies for a living, but I'm even more interested in harnessing the mind and elevating your spirit. Every week, I'm speaking with exceptional humans or experts in their field, or folks who genuinely have a unique and valuable insight we can all benefit from. So get cozy, or lace up your shoes, or keep your eyes on the road. And let's drop right in. Oh, hey, y'all. Welcome to Shockin' Y'all. This podcast is so close to my heart. I am speaking with Laura Lynn Jackson. She is a New York Times bestselling author, a teacher, a mother, a speaker, and a psychic medium. She gave me the biggest gift I've ever received, quite honestly, after Matt passed away. She shared so many brilliant downloads, and I can't wait for you to hear from her. We're talking about her book, Signs, of course, actual signs that you might experience if you've lost a loved one. We talk about your team of light, your spirit guides or guardian angels, and how it all boils down to choosing love over fear. She's just the coolest. I can't wait for you to meet her. Let's dive right in. Oh, P.S. At the end of this, my dog has a terrible barking fit, and because of that, I was distracted and I didn't get to offer her Instagram and where you can find her. You can find her at lauralynnjackson.com. She is also on the Forever Family Foundation, which is an organization for psychic mediums. And you can also find her on Instagram at Laura Lynn Jackson. Okay, now let's dive right in. We have the icon, the legend, the queen herself, Laura Lynn Jackson, here today. And let me tell you a little bit about Laura Lynn Jackson, please. Laura Lynn Jackson changes lives. In 2022, when I was gifted her book Signs, I was moved but set it aside because I didn't want to, quote, cry my way through it. Little did I know my spirit guides and angels were at work preparing me for the greatest hardship I've faced yet. Laura Lynn is a channel for hope and a healer head to toe. Her words and profound insight from the other side not only build a foundational language for those of us grieving, but dispel the witchy woo around the miracle of existence. As we walk the earth in our human costumes, she confirms that we see only a fraction of this life. Laura Lynn shows up in every word, every interview, every workshop with presence, understanding, faith, plenty of capacity, and the knowledge we didn't know we needed. She gave me the single greatest gift after my love, Matt, passed away. You are currently witnessing or listening to a dream come true moment for me. Please welcome New York Times bestselling author, teacher, speaker, wife, mother of three, and accredited psychic medium, Laura Lynn Jackson.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be present in conversation with you right now and be around your beautiful glowing energy.
My energy? Thanks. That means a lot. Oh my gosh. Okay. Truth be told, Laura Lynn was gifted to me 9 months 10, wait, no, we have to add in five. I'm not great at math. 13 months ago when a dear client of mine sent me your book and I started reading it in a sauna and I cried and sweated my way through that. and finally said, I don't know that I can get through this book because I don't have anyone on the other side and I'm just going to set it aside. And then sure enough, I lose Matt 5 months ago. And that book was, it was the impetus for me being able to communicate with him, to get through the grief of that. And it is such a testament to how, I mean, not only I've told you this, your book's right here. And then I've got three over here. And then I've got your signed copy downstairs. Not creepy, not creepy. But that book gave me a language to speak to Matt and continue our relationship in a whole new way. And I want to thank you on behalf of the nation and everyone that's read that book, because it's just the gift that keeps on giving, literally. So thank you.
Thank you for so much for sharing that with me. It's so deeply meaningful to hear that it's helpful or that it's a tool for people. You know, that's everything I've always wanted for other people, to know that they never need to go to a psychic medium to connect with their loved ones. This is a gift we all have. We just need to open to it.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting is I had never been to a psychic medium. I was always curious, but very scared because I didn't know, you know, I was raised Catholic and there was this umbrella of, you know, religious speak around what that's about and what have you. And I'm very open-minded. And I, like I said, been very curious, but the minute I was in conversation with you, I felt like every aspect of the woo was just wiped out the door. I'm like, this is not woo. This is life. This is it's just everything. So thanks for that.
Well, thank you for being open to it. You know, I think what you're describing is that fear. I think a lot of things can hold us back from living this life of connection and engagement and seeing this beautiful unseen energy around us at all times. And the number one thing is fear.
You know, for sure.
Like, what is that? And I don't understand it. So I'm just going to slam the door on it. And I get that. I really do, you know, but the fact that you were open to that experience, because our loved ones on the other side, our team of light, they're always trying to guide us and get us on our highest path and have us cross paths with certain people or certain experiences, get us certain books. They're always doing that for us, but it's our free will. It's our job to say yes or no. And you said yes. So that's beautiful.
Oh yeah. I said, hell yes. That just leads me right into my first question, which is, can you explain the concept team of light, which I absolutely love?
Yeah. So, you know, this is something I learned over the many decades of connecting with the other side and doing readings. I began to understand that, you know, we all know we're connected to God energy, right? This force of love that is part of us, that connects us, that we can call upon, that we can tap into, that we can, some people choose to pray to, whatever your connection is, that's a very direct connection with this kind of divine energy of love, right? But I quickly began to understand that each one of us has different components to how we're being guided and watched over. We have what I call a team of light on the other side, which I see as a three-part team. The first part's God energy for certain. And then the second part, and this sounds a little woo-woo, we all have what I call spirit guides. You know, throughout time and history, a lot of religions referred to them as guardian angels. Yeah. I just happen to call them spirit guides. They're advanced angelic beings that our souls contracted with before we came to this earth plane. You know, we're spiritual beings stuck in these physical bodies, never fully comfortable, always a little bit, you know, off,
yeah.
You know, but we are spiritual beings and our spiritual self contracted with these other angelic spiritual beings before we came here to have them be our teachers, our guides, our mentors from the other side. And they'll utilize and use what can be referred to as, you know, our psychic intuitive abilities, the four clairs, which we can talk about too, mm-hmm. to help guide us, to give us information, to steer us in the right way. And that relationship has been there since the moment we arrived here. You know, I think some people are very aware of their spirit guides, where they've had dreams about them or visions of them or this sense of knowing. And some people can say, oh, I know I have this many guides and this is what they look like and this is their names. And that's not how I usually get things. What I'll usually get when I read for somebody too is I can see how many guides they have. But the focus is not on like your spirit guides. They're just there to help you. It's the least complicated relationship you will ever have this lifetime. Because if you ignore them, they just circle back and try to help. It's not important that we focus on them. We just receive information and guidance from them. But the more we open to our spirit guides and the more we assign them to be what I call our spiritual bouncers on the other side, which we say to them, let in who's supposed to come into my energy, keep people out who are not on my highest path, guide me to the people, the experiences, use me as a vehicle of love and healing in this world, however I can best be used. If we give them that direction, that relationship opens up even more and they can guide us. And then the third part of our team of light is anybody we loved who's crossed to the other side and our ancestors. And this includes pets as well. All of those beautiful, loving beings are still very present for us daily on our path. They watch over us. They guide us too. I just don't call them our spirit guides. I call them our loved ones. But they're part of our team of light too. And they also will use our four clairs. They'll get our attention. They'll send signs and messages to guide us and lead us because they're always rooting for us. They're there for our moments of sadness. They're there for our moments of celebration, and they're there for everything in between. And I think the greatest gift that anyone can have is feeling how unbelievably loved we each are, and how unbelievably guided we each are, and how unbelievably connected we each are to our own teams of light. And you do not need a third person to make that connection. Nobody ever needs to go to a psychic medium in order to connect with their team of light. All you need to do is open your mind and your heart and say, I'm ready and open to be guided. I'm ready for my connections. You know, maybe create a system of signs and a language in that sense, and you will feel that connection and you will get your signs and you will be guided. And it can really transform your life from like simple things, like simple decisions you're making one day or asking for help getting a parking spot, to huge life decisions like, should I stay in this job or should I switch careers, or, you know, should I stay in this relationship? Whatever it might be, we can get guidance for everything.
It's so rad. Yeah. I have to, again, thank you. I don't know how many times we're going to have someone count it. Maybe my editors can count how many times I say thank you. I have had more conversations with close friends or just acquaintances or absolute internet friends. I call them internet friends, never met in real life, but that's fine. Over the concept of asking for signs and inviting them in, because when you gave me permission and you mentioned in our reading, because I went back and watched the full 2 hours right before this, because that's kind of dork I am. You said they need permission. It's almost like contract, unspoken rule that they need permission to be invited in. And when you say that, that's what you mean, correct? Like we can.
Yeah. You know, so here's what they've taught me, and I don't understand all the rules on the other side. I do know that they will get our attention right away once they've crossed, sending us all sorts of signs and, you know, default signs. So like messing with our electrical devices to get our attention, especially like now that we have iPhones, they love changing the words when you're texting someone, look at the words change, but certainly flickering the lights, doing things of that nature, putting coins in our path, pennies, dimes, and nickels. Why do they do that? Well, I think when we leave our physical bodies, we become light energy and it's just easy to manipulate small metallic objects. I always say, pick it up, look at the date. There might be another sign within that. And sending, you know, different animals that navigate the field using electromagnetic fields, like navigate the world using different electromagnetic fields, like birds, butterflies, dragonflies, deer, you name it. But that's just the way they get our attention. The next step is inviting them in to help us more fully on our path. It's almost as if they're allowed to guide us, but if we ask for them to intervene, they can do more. It seems like there's a little bit of a rule book on the other side where we need to do the ask or the invitation. You know, let's say we're struggling with a decision. We can say to them, and you don't have to say this out loud. You can just say this in your thoughts because they will always hear you when you direct your thoughts to them. You know, I'm stuck on this. Can you give me guidance? Can you step in and show me my highest path? Can you help me understand this? And sometimes we can say that too, if we've been through a really difficult situation in our lives where something we really wanted didn't work out. So many times we can feel lost or alone or forgotten by the universe, or just so confused as to how it could make sense. We might feel like we're off our path. You know, we've done something wrong. And so often when I read for people, I'll see that even though they may have gone through a very difficult circumstance or something didn't work out the way they wanted to, they're not off path. That was part of their soul journey and understanding and learning. And quite often when I do readings too, their loved ones on the other side will reframe it in a way where they'll understand the spiritual lesson of it. And it will be something beautiful and love-based where they had never seen that side of it before. So here's the thing. Nobody needs me to do a reading in order to connect and get that guidance or get that reframing of a situation someone might've been in. You can ask your loved ones to show you, and they might do that in a series of ways. It might be through a very tangible sign, or you might have a dream visitation by them, or they may give you a sense of clairvoyant like vision or a claircognizant knowing where you all of a sudden just know something in every ounce of your being about that situation that you hadn't thought of before. It's just inviting them in to guide you more and to help you on your journey more, I think can make our lives so much brighter and more meaningful.
For sure. I don't know if I've told you this. I can't recall if I did, but I've told everyone that will listen that I feel as though Matt is in my consciousness. I don't know how to put that into words properly, but it's as if I for sure have clairaudience, meaning I can, and you can explain this further, but I hear him respond to me. I'll ask a question and it's not me, and it's not necessarily his voice that I knew, but it is not coming from me. And I don't know how to put that.
It comes to you.
Correct.
Exactly.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I love this. I want you to talk more about it if you can, like how sure. Do we develop it or improve it or.
Yeah. So maybe we should talk about all the clairs.
Yeah.
Let's start with that one there. You know, there's four clairs that the other side has taught me are ways that they really connect and communicate with us. You know, we have our regular senses, but then we also have these abilities to tune in different ways. So the one you're talking about right now is clairaudience, and it means clear hearing. And it's when you hear a thought come to you, not from you. It's not like you're going to hear a booming voice physically on the outside. It'll just arrive to you as a thought. And sometimes it will be just a thought that comes in, and sometimes you'll actually hear it in the voice of a loved one who's crossed. But either way, it's clairaudience. It's their way of connecting with you. You can think of it almost like as a form of telepathy, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the same that when I do readings, I'm not talking out loud to someone's loved ones on the other side. We're talking through our thoughts. That's not unique to me. We all have this ability. We just have to open to it more. And then we have to practice it. And then most importantly, we have to trust it when we get it. You know, I think fear and then doubt are the two big obstacles for all of us to access our psychic and intuitive abilities and live these vibrant lives of connection, right? So what you're describing is this clairaudience connection. And that one is really, really powerful when it happens. And I think when it happens for most people, it's so outside the norm that they just dismiss it or they ignore it. They pretend like, what was that? And just don't pay attention at all. And so I think it's so important to honor it in that way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The other thing is we have other clairs too, which we could talk about as well.
Because yes, yes, yes.
If you're getting your information clairaudiently, there's definitely other clairs as well. One of the ones I think a lot of people can relate to is clairvoyance, because when we sleep at night and we dream, our frontal lobes go offline. And so we're able to access the spiritual realm in a way that we're not usually. The frontal lobe of our brain is in charge of all our waking stuff, like, you know, critical thinking, language, math skills, all this sort of thing. And what will happen when we sleep is we access different parts of our brain. And so we can have what I call dream visitations, or we can have precognizant dreams, or we can get all sorts of information in this kind of visual sense. Because when we're sleeping and dreaming, we're not using our physical eyes, but we're seeing vividly, right? That's our clairvoyant vision. That's our psychic vision. That's the vision we have when we leave our physical bodies. And dream visitations can be really powerful. This is one that a lot of people will recognize having. It's when you have a dream about somebody who's crossed, or a pet that's crossed, but it happens and it feels as if it's an experience fresh in your energy. And a lot of times in the dreams, you don't verbally talk out loud to the person, you can communicate through thoughts. So that's a form of clairvoyance. And then there's claircognizance, which means clear knowing. And it's when you get this sudden like download of information that just comes to you and you haven't even tried to summon up. You just know something in every ounce of your being, but there's no way you could really logically know it. That's another form of communication from the other side, this claircognizant download. You know, it's very interesting because a lot of artists might get this too. A lot of creators, they'll just get like these downloads, and we can call it epiphanies or inspiration, but it's really coming from this other place to you so that you can be the vehicle it comes from or through. But you can get this on a regular day-to-day basis too, about maybe what way you're supposed to drive home. You usually would drive home, let's say the short route, but you have the sense of like, oh, I should go the long way. And you trust it. You trust that claircognizant knowing to find out like the road you would have normally taken was closed. You know, our guides are always working with us in that way. And then there is clairsentience, which is a really strong ability we have and we can open to. And it means clear feeling. It takes place in our solar plexus area. and it's where we read energy from. And so we'll get really strong energy reads and we'll be guided to certain people or certain places if we pay attention to those pulls that we have. So it's right around your belly button. You can almost feel like pulls. If you've ever met somebody for the first time and had just this really strong first impression, you might notice that it's not just based on the 3D, it's based on the person's energy. You know, there are certainly people we've been around which feel like energy vampires. You feel just drained after being with them. And then there are other people who just like light you up when you're around them and you feel joyful and like you're, you know, you're so full of light and you're full of happiness after being with them because you're reading their energy and they're not pulling it from you. They're helping you celebrate your own and give you more. So, you know, those are basically our psychic toolbox of the clairs. So your team of light can use them, your spirit guides, your loved ones, God energy can guide you through them, but they're there for the taking anytime we want. So the more we trust them, the more we exercise and practice them and open to them, the stronger they get and the more we can be guided by them. Again, the obstacles are fear and trust. So if we're afraid of them, we're not accessing them. If we start to use them and then we get these incredible moments of connection, what's going to happen is your little monkey mind, that frontal lobe that meditation teachers call the monkey mind that always chatters, it's going to get in a wrestling match with that spiritual experience and say like, reject this. This can't be true. That doesn't fit my logical paradigm. And so it's our job to jump over that hurdle of doubt and say like, no, I know that this was real. And I know that there's unseen energy all around us and these connections that we can't understand in a logical way, but I'm going to trust that. And I'm going to honor that. The greatest way we can honor that, of course, is by sharing that story with someone else and celebrating the moments of connection that we've had.
Oh yeah. The number of stories that I've shared or possibly overshared, depending on who's been on the receiving end of it. And I'm happy to do it though, because it always opens a conversation up and they're like, wait, I just thought that was coincidental, or I would have totally written that off if you hadn't told me A, B, C, D. I mean, I pulled up my sign book, the number of signs that Matt has sent.
I mean, that's incredible.
It's bananas.
And you, I love that you're writing it down. I always encourage people to do that because again, when we have it written before us, we see how like, absolutely, that is such a true and powerful thing.
Totally. You can't deny that. I mean, and this is, there are hundreds. I haven't counted them, but hundreds. And again, now this leads me into my next question. Do you feel as though some souls on the other side maybe are more, I don't want to say advanced or more masterful at sending signs? Is that something that you have to, I mean, I don't know that you would know that, but maybe they've shared that in some capacity.
Yeah. Some, it's very interesting because some, it's just, I think it's an energy thing where it's just so easy for them immediately. And other times I've had, when I've been doing a reading, I've had people on the other side tell me like, oh yeah, well I did this because I learned from this person who was there. Usually just a loved one on the other side who's like, let me show you how to do the sign thing.
Oh my gosh.
It comes naturally for others. But I think there's like it's a two-way street, right? Because it's also requires us to be open and open our energy.
Yeah.
And And it's very easy to miss signs. It's absolutely easy to miss. I'm a psychic medium. I've missed signs before. You know, I tell the story how my dad's on the other side. And after he crossed, my mom, sister, and I went to the cemetery because we were trying to figure out exactly how we wanted his gravestone to look and where it was going to be. And we were just kind of honoring the spot. And then we're like, okay, let's go to lunch. And we drove right past a restaurant called the Purple Elephant. And we didn't even notice it till the way back. And why is that important? Well, because the sign my mom had asked my dad to send her was a purple elephant. We just drove right past it. Didn't even catch it. Ate lunch at some little bakery, drove back. And my sister was like, oh, wait, look. So that I think happened on purpose so I could understand how easy it is to miss signs.
Oh my God.
Here's the thing, if we miss them, they'll just circle back. They'll just send it in a new way.
For sure. Yeah. I have chills everywhere. I love that. It's just so refreshing. And gosh, for anyone that's grieving, I feel like being open to it, what's it going to hurt? At the very least, it's comforting. At the very least, it offers you hope. At the very least, you have a language possibly to connect with your loved one. I mean, that's the thing that I really like to drive home to people, whether they want to hear it or not. I'm just like, what's the worst that could happen?
I love that. And I'm always saying to people, like, don't just believe me, try it.
Yeah.
Try it out. You know, that's the thing. I think it's really important for all of us to be critical thinkers. And critical thinkers don't just like accept something hook, line, and sinker and say like, oh, well, she said it's real, so it's real. No, you test it. You go on a journey of exploration. So you test it. Ask for a sign. You can do this out loud or in your thoughts. It doesn't matter. I always say write it down too, so you have proof to yourself that you really asked for the sign, and then wait for it. You know, I so often I'll get messages of people, of course, wanting to share these amazing sign stories. But every now and then I'll get somebody writing me saying, you know, I was really annoyed. I didn't want to try this because I was so scared it wasn't going to work. And I think, again, that's fear, right? Fear being an obstacle, you know, and then they'll get their sign. And then here comes the doubt. They're like, okay, if that was a sign, send me another sign. So I know that was a sign. Then we'll get our next sign and we'll say, okay, that second one was a sign that the first one was a sign. Just send me one more sign and then I'll believe it. You know, we're always in that wanting to know. But the great thing is they'll send it. Sometimes people will message me and say, I asked for my sign and I'm not getting it. And I say to them, well, you probably are and you're probably missing it, but don't get upset about that. Just be a little bit more concrete. You know, say to your loved one on the other side, okay, I know you're probably sending this, but I'm missing it. So can you please have somebody verbally say it to me out loud? Or can you show it to me in a picture in my social media feed or whatever. We can kind of ask for how we want it if we're finding we're not getting it, but it works.
Oh, I believe it.
When we try to sometimes tell each other like the way that we received our sign, it's like, it's just unbelievably magical the way that it's arrived to us and in real time or who delivered it. It's just incredible.
It's the best. It keeps life exciting here because this is a question I didn't plan on asking you, but I, now that we're here, I want to. So this is pretty transparent share. I don't think I've verbalized this to anyone but my closest friends, but part of me, and specifically right after Matt passed, I felt, and I want to be real clear, I'm not wishing my life away, but part of me so desperately wants to have these conversations with him that I can't wait. And it feels like it's going to take forever. I'm like, I got to go through this whole life again, not wishing my life away, loving every last second. Thank you, God. But at the same time, I'm like, this is going to take forever. It's wild. It's like the dichotomy of those two things, that I know he's in my consciousness, that I know that he's here for every last moment and sign and experience. But at the same time, he's the person I want to share these stories with. Of all people, he's the one. It's so...
So here's something very interesting that my guide showed me a while ago that I think it's a little hard to wrap our mind around, but I think there's something incredibly comforting in it. And what they showed me was this: our soul essence is always really on the other side. This life we're beamed into is sort of like a virtual reality. If you've ever done like virtual reality, like you feel like you're really there. You feel like you're very immersed in it. But really, you're standing in your own self. And so in a very real way, your soul essence is with Matt already on the other side. You're just feeling the distance because you're meant to have experiences here right now. Yeah. And your soul is growing in beautiful ways through this sort of virtual reality. But you're already present with him. You're the only one that really can't remember that. I think when we come here, our physical brains act really as dunce caps. They keep us from remembering where our true home is, which is always on the other side. They keep us from remembering like the rules of why we're here, which is really so simple: to love and be loved. Any chance we have to give love, give it. Any chance we have to receive someone else's love, receive it. And our currency, our true currency, it's not money. It's kindness. It's forgiveness. It's love. It's as simple as that, right? But we have to figure that out. Why? Because the fabric of humanity, of us being these spiritual beings in these physical bodies, there's so much variation about the different levels we're on. Some of us are here as teachers. Some of us are here learning a specific soul lesson we're meant to evolve through. You know, there's so many different reasons to be here. And I think we forget that too, that our lives don't just belong to us. We're part of this great fabric of connection. We all influence and affect each other in profound ways. Another thing the other side told me is like, most of us will save so many other people's lives here and we won't even be conscious of it or understand it until we cross and do our life review. And then we'll see how our existence and our choices and the light we brought, the ways we held ourselves accountable or the paths that we chose affected those around us. We're all so intertwined in such profound ways.
So I love that.
Really, nobody is ever alone. You know, we have this false sense of being isolated, both from each other in the here and now and from our loved ones on the other side. But truly, we never are.
It's just, that's so refreshing. That's so refreshing. I hate, and I think this is, again, part of the human condition and part of what we signed up for. I hate that we've come here forgetting that.
Yeah, it's I think if we knew all the rules, that would be kind of like cheating in a way. I think our souls all agreeing, like, okay, if we don't know that, will we choose love? I think that's the question that we're answering every day. Will I choose love? And sometimes, you know, some of us are here to learn self-love. Like, we're kind to other people and so cruel to ourselves. Our personal narratives, our inner narratives are so scathing, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's the real test. It's really like, will you choose love? And what does that mean to you? And how are you going to express that? And I think too, it's like, will you also recognize the beauty and will you value your own light? Those are the questions we're answering every day. So if we're not taking care of our own self, whether it's we're not taking care of ourselves physically, emotionally, or spiritually, we're not valuing our own light in the right ways. You know, if we're choosing a path of anger, and I'll tell you right now, the really root of anger is fear, I think, like fear of not being loved, fear of having something taken from us, right? It's really like fear and anger are so intertwined, which love is such a different feeling and it's such a different vibration and it's such a different path. Totally. So if you ever have a decision to make or you're struggling with how to see someone or something in your own life, if fear is leading you down one path, don't go, because that's always the lower path. That's never the higher path. The path of love is the path that's always your highest.
I appreciate that message so much. That's so easy to nibble on and be like, okay, I can buy into that, you know? Oh my goodness. So this leads me to you. Since you mentioned that your guides told you, do you have the ability to see your own guides? Like, can you, how many do you have?
So from what I've become aware of, I have three and I've met two of them. I don't know who the third is, but I know I've had the sense that the third is male. You know, the way it worked for me is I had these abilities all my life. And then I had my first daughter. And after I had her, like I couldn't block them out anymore. I couldn't shut them down. And they were so pronounced and intense. I think it's because, you know, a literal soul came through me. That's profound. So whatever blockages I had put up, those were just blown to smithereens. And I remember I went to take a shower one day, and in the shower, like, I had this absolute download. Like, it's almost like my inner screen opened up and I saw one of my guides step in, and she looked to be about like maybe like 14 years old. She was Native American, and she told me her name translated to walks with minnows. And she said, you're here to do this in the world and you can't say no anymore. Well, it wasn't like saying you can't say no. It was more like, you need to honor this now. This is your path. And it wasn't like telling you, it was an absolute knowing. And she said, you're going to be helping people and doing this. And so I came out from the shower, and, you know, mind you, my life was crazy at the time. My husband was like, you know, working full time and then going to law school at night. So he'd be gone from like 5:30 in the morning till midnight, literally.
Perfect.
I was in my second year teaching with a newborn.
Oh my God.
I came out from the shower and I was like, I said to my husband, Garrett, I'm like, okay, so listen, I'm going to need to be doing this now. And, you know, he knew enough about me and how this works that it wasn't a question. It was a knowing, a directive. And he's like, okay, well, I don't know how we're going to fit this in, but don't use your first name. Go by your middle name, because you could get fired from work and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of unfolded from there. So that was how I knew the first one. That was actually in my first book, and my editor cut it out. She's like, this is a little too woo-woo for people. And I was like, okay, but no, that's not a true story. That was a chapter in The Light Between Us initially, but got deleted. But now everybody who watched this knows it. My second guide, I met driving. You know, pay attention, everyone, to what you get when you're taking a shower, when you're driving, when you're doing like dishes or housework, because those things will distract your little frontal lobe monkey mind just enough by having to do things that the psychic stuff opens completely. You'll get downloads. You'll get all these connections and information. And of course, in the sleep state, right? Which is why people say, let me sleep on it. And then they wake up with clarity. It's the time that like the frontal lobe can go offline a little and we can connect. So anyway, I was driving and I get this vision of this woman who comes in, and she tells me she's one of my guides. And she says, her name is Alora. And I thought, oh, this is so hokey. My name is Laura and my spirit guide is Laura. I'm like, you know, there's the doubt, right? So I say to her, fine, if you're announcing yourself and you're my guide, you need to show me how your name is spelled today. And that was it. The screen shut, blah, blah, blah. I didn't tell anybody. That evening, we go to the movies with my kids and I'm getting popcorn. And the young man behind the thing says to me, "Hey, would you like to sign up for our rewards program? It's free." And I was like, maybe, like, what does it do? And he's like, "You can earn free popcorn, all this stuff." So I was like, fine, I'll take the moment and I'll sign up. And he says to me, "Okay, what's your name?" I say, "My name is Laura Jackson." He takes my like email. And then he's like, "Oh, wait, let me write up your little card." It's like a temporary card, which I don't know why I would need that, but he writes it up. So he hands it to me and on it, it says A-L-O-R-A. And I freeze and I say to him, "My name is Laura. Why did you write Alora?" And he looks at me like, and he's like, "I have no idea. I didn't type it in that way. I don't know. I know your name's Laura." And I was like, "Okay, thank you very much." It's like, "Okay, well played, Alora. Now I know it's, you know, that's real." My third one, I haven't met yet. It's male and I can feel him. But again, I don't ever feel like the focus is really on them. It's more on how they help us.
Yeah.
So I don't know why the third hasn't shown himself or revealed himself to me, but we'll see. But that's my sense of my guides. Now, can I connect with them and ask them things? Yes. Will they give me all the answers? No.
Right.
Sometimes they will flat out let me know, "You are not allowed to know this yet." And sometimes it's because it's something I'm supposed to struggle with, or I'm meant to have trust in, or it's teaching me a soul lesson, either about patience or disappointment, only to realize the universe was leading me to something greater. Sometimes it's for a family member that I'm not allowed to navigate. You know, it's very interesting, but sometimes they will reframe things for me, especially if I'm struggling with something. They'll show me how it really makes sense in the spiritual way and why it's beautiful. And that can be really helpful.
For sure. Now, I'm assuming, and I think I know this because I've heard you speak so many times and read all your books. When you do a reading, that's pretty draining for you, correct? Like to tap into that. How do you nourish yourself? Like, how does Laura Lynn fill up her own cup when this is a constant? I mean, you're plugged in all the time. How do you live?
That's such an interesting question. And I'm actually not fully plugged in all the time. And by that, I mean this: I'm a psychic and I'm a medium. When I'm reading psychically, I'm reading energy fields. I'm reading auras. I'm reading the energy, the unseen energy of all things. So I'll pick up on patina of energy, past, present, future. When I meet people, I'll feel their energy, right? But I keep that volume switch usually on, or like if it's out of like 10, I keep it on a 2. So I can never shut it off. And quite frankly, I don't really wouldn't want to. It's a really helpful tool, but I try not to be invasive with it. Like I never try to read somebody's energy unless they've come to me for a session. Yeah. And that part, that psychic part, that's not draining to me. I always say if I were a cell phone and I was on 100%, if I stayed open psychically the whole day, I'm maybe at like 80%. Hasn't really drained me.
Oh.
Now, mediumship is totally different. So mediumship is when I use my energy and my consciousness to connect with the consciousness of someone who's no longer in a physical body. That is absolutely exhausting to me. And I can feel it. It's the combination for me, what it would feel like to do every time I do a session or every time I read. It would be like running a 5K while trying to solve like some really hard algebra problem at the same time. It's like that level of exhaustion, both like mentally and physically. I've tried to understand what that was. For years, I thought that maybe it's that the other side is plugging into my physical energy field to be able to communicate. But then I saw it a little bit differently. I was kind of shown that no, it's different. In order for me to connect with that like energy vibration, it's like me holding the heaviest thing, like for so long and then putting it down at the end. Imagine if you were lifting weights, right? And you lifted like such this heavy, heavy thing and you were able to do it. And then you put it down, your whole limbs are exhausted, right? That's more how I would say it is for me. And I think that's a part that nobody else really can understand unless you're doing these kinds of readings. And it might also be exhaustingly draining for me in a unique way from other mediums. I know there are other mediums who can do like, I don't know, 4 readings in a day. Not me. If I do one, like that's, you know, I'll spread them out usually maybe like 3 a week, because what I've found is if I read too much, I get physically sick. And I don't mean just like tired for the day. I mean, I'll end up with like bronchitis or like whooping cough or the flu or like major things going on, and I'll be of no use to anybody for like a month or so, you know? Yeah. So it will really debilitate me. You know, I'm one of 19 research mediums for an organization called Wimbridge Research Center, which is very interesting because we all can share data about who we are, how we operate, how we get information. You know, I'm unique in that sense because I think I'm the only medium who has like the screen that opens that I watch, right? But I'm also unique because the majority of those mediums have either had one or more bouts with cancer, have an autoimmune disease or disorder. And I'm one of the few who, knock on wood, has not had that. But I also think I am hyper aware of my energy field. And when I feel drained, I shut off and I shut down. And I also don't try to do a lot of readings and put myself like in that energy drain because I'm so conscious of what it's doing to me. Now, why is this important for everyone? Well, we all have energy fields and we all have ways to connect. And even reading and connecting psychically, you can feel that, and it is a little draining. So I think for everybody who is watching this, we all have those abilities. It's just becoming aware of our own energy field, our own aura, our own energy levels. You know, scientists call it a biofield.
Yeah.
People call it an aura. And protecting and preserving that is part of the way that we honor our own light. So I think it's really important to set boundaries for yourself too, in your own life too, whatever that might mean in whatever way is, because there is this spiritual light in us. It's so interesting because in America, we don't have a word for it. Other cultures call it chi, ki, prana. It's life energy. It's light energy. It's what makes us go. It's our spirits and our physical bodies. And it's a very real, measurable, energetic thing, right? But it's so interesting because here our doctors learn how to be doctors by studying cadavers who are missing their chi, ki, prana energy, right? So it's fascinating how little we pay attention to it here in the United States of America. And we really need to more. Like, our culture doesn't even acknowledge it, but it's very real. And so I think that is part of what happens when I do mediumship readings, is my light energy gets very like drained, you know, for whatever reason.
That totally tracks. Yeah. I had the privilege of attending the last 3 hours of your workshop in Burbank. I've told this story again a number of times, not on the podcast, but to folks in real life, that I walked in and like I was there 7 minutes and you're like, "And we're going to break up and find a partner." I'm like, "No, not the partner." And we're walking around. Again, no idea what I'm finding a partner for. I'm just like, "Hi, oh, hi. No, you have a name tag? No, I just got here." And I meet eyes with this woman, Dr. Tiffany Todd, and she's like, "You're my girl." And I was like, "Amazing. I'll be your girl." So we sit down, and this is when we're trading objects. Psychometry, is that what it was?
Yes, psychometry.
So, of course, walk in, no idea what we're talking about, didn't bring anything. I have this necklace, which has Matt's actual handwriting. It says, "Love, Matt." My good friends found it on a card and had it engraved like right after he passed, and I just adore it. So I took that off, and I gave it to her, and she gave me a blanket, like a little boy's blanket. And you had to sit down and close her eyes and just sit with the object. And I mean, again, I'm learning on the fly here. I'm like, okay, I'm sitting with the object. And you're my favorite part. You're like, no matter what comes up, if you get a dolphin with a dill pickle, like write it down. Don't judge it. I was like, dolphin with a dill pickle. Okay. But true enough, I mean, I started getting the weirdest downloads. I got like fireplace and June and cat and a robe and royal and king. And I'm like, this is crazy. You're crazy. I was like, you don't know what you're doing. I just, all the fear, all the doubt, wrote it down. After however long that was, we go to speak with each other about it. And she's like, "You go first." And I'm like, seriously, this just keeps getting better and better. I was like, okay. So a fireplace, I see a fire. She's like, yeah. She's like, I go through every single descriptive word that I put. And she's like, "We lifted my son." That's my son's blanket. He's upstairs in the hotel room. I also didn't bring an object of a deceased person, but that's all I had. She said, "We lifted him up over a fireplace, saved his life by lifting him up over this fire." She's like, "My boyfriend has a cat. We're moving in with him in June. My son is autistic. His best friend's name is King. He wears a robe. He considers himself a royal." I mean, it went on. I was like, what? I mean, it was thrilling. It's so real.
We all have this ability. So you read the energy off the object, and her energy and his were attached to it. And this is the thing. I don't want people to just believe me. I want people to experience this for themselves, because when we have our own experience like that, we have to own that as a truth. Can't avoid that. That's a truth. And if that's a truth, what does it mean about this whole materialistic paradigm we're seemingly living in? If energy, unseen energy is real and these connections are real, it changes your worldview.
100 million times over and over again. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful because losing my best friend and my love, like that was the worst. And we already had, I told you that as well, we already had that metaphysical conversation going. All we talked about was time travel and the Matrix and quantum entanglement. And that's why, again, I think our language was so easily findable after he passed. But I wouldn't have gone this deep if he had been here. I don't think I would have been distracted, just like you said, with the other things, the materialistic things of life. But this brings a whole new flavor to life.
Yeah.
It's just so thrilling.
I love that. And I do feel like it's interesting too, at my workshops, I always find people who are meant to meet and know each other do. It's just so true.
It's so wild. I know. And when she took my necklace, and you were like, okay, we're going to wrap it up. And she's like, real quick, she's like, I got two things. And I was like, okay, what? She's like, it's you in a wedding. And I was like, no, I already did that. She's like, no, this is in the future, and it's you, and there's like a processional, and that's all I saw was just you in a white dress. It's a sweetheart neckline. I was like, okay. But you know, who knows? I'm open. I you've confirmed for me and others as well that Matt is at work on the other side, wanting to make myself and Beau happy and full of love and supported and protected. And I feel it. I feel it every day. So regardless of that outcome, it was eye-opening and beautiful.
You know, our loved ones, they want us to live vibrant, engaged lives, full of love, full of joy. And that's not a betrayal of our love for them. That's an expression of our love for them. And wow. They guide us to the people. They guide us to the situations. And they help us on our grief journeys. We're not alone on those. They're right there supporting us, sending us the signs, sitting us with us energetically, helping us always.
It really makes sense. Yeah. And I'm so thankful too. I know my son, I mean, he's 11 and he's so dialed in as well. Like, it's just very funny. I dropped him off at school this week. I'm like, I love you. Make good choices. That's usually what I yell at him, just to like slightly embarrass him, but also to like drive it home. And he's like, I saw Matt in the back seat. I was like, what? I was like, how dare you yell that out at me? But he just, his face was just his clear face. He's like, I think I just saw Matt in the back seat. I was like, amazing. Have a good day.
I love that so much. You know, it's so interesting too, is children are so tuned in to the unseen energy.
Oh yeah.
Specifically like age 11 through 14, there's this surge that happens. I think it has to do with like the pre-pubescent hormone, like whatever this is, it's like this grand opening of our abilities too. Because kids are super psychic. Usually up until about age 5 to 7, it starts to shut down. Because why? Before we have language, we're using energy reading. Before we get stuck in formal schooling, we're using all parts of our brain, and then we get narrowed into that frontal lobe. And 98% of your brainwave activity takes place there, gets stuck in there for almost everybody during your waking hours. So kids get trained into that part of their brain. But I think when the hormone flood starts, usually 11 to 14, it's this resurgence, this opening of energy. So 11 to 14 year olds are like super, super psychic. And I think we get to make a choice around that age if we want to like leave that open, or if we want to try and shut it down more again. But here's the thing, anyone can reaccess it at any time. I've had people come to my workshops and say like, listen, none of this is going to work because I am not at all psychic. And then they leave like blown out of the water about their own abilities and what they now need to own about the gifts that they've always had. Right. Yeah. It's not, I don't need to unlock it for you. You can unlock it for you. That's the thing. Like, nobody needs me. I'm just here to tell you what you have inside and what you have accessible to you. And you can do that. And that's what you've done for your son. So how beautiful is that, that he can feel and see and like experience that, because you've helped give him permission that that's okay. And that's not only okay, but beautiful.
I'm so glad. And it is an open conversation in our house all the time, which I'm very thankful for. And I thank you for helping give me permission, whether or not you meant to or not.
Well, I'm so honored if I had any role in that, but I feel like that's all you.
Well, thank you. You should also know, I just have a little note here that I have a little, I don't know what you call it. We call ourselves an elephant parade. There's three other women, Sharon and Jamie and SJ, and they were all here shortly after Matt passed, but we've been referring to you as LL Cool J. I don't know if you've been referred to as that.
Oh, so much.
Yeah. No, they're like, have a great talk with LL Cool J. Did I tell her we said hi? I was like, you guys, I got it.
That makes me so happy. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny. So many people have just defaulted to like calling me LLJ. That's just been a thing. And I'm like, I love it. I love nicknames. And a couple years ago, somebody started calling me LL Cool J. I was like, that one's amazing. So I'm so excited that it's
Back. Oh no, it's back. It's in full force, at least in my house.
I'm so honored. I love it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I'm going to honor your time and I don't want to wrap it up, but I know you have a life to live. I didn't tell you. I like to end these with a little rapid fire. I have five words and I just want you to either give me the first word that comes to your mind, or if you have a story or an anecdote, then feel free to share. You can go as short or as long as you like, but are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. First word is happy.
Oh, that just makes me smile inside. So one thing I just, you know, it's so interesting because I feel like I'm getting this little download from my guides to talk about this. And what I just heard was like happiness is a choice and that it's there for each of us every day. And if that means looking at something beautiful in the world and honoring that beauty, or honoring that we have that power within us to be full of gratitude for a myriad of things in every moment, I think just becoming aware that that is a choice we can make and that is there every single day for us can transform our own energy fields. Because the inner dialogues we have or the story we're telling ourselves about our own life or our own day, that is so powerful. So if we pause for a moment and say like, what can I choose to be happy about in this moment right now? It might be that we have eyesight. It might be that we're having a conversation. It starts snowballing in this beautiful way. And gratitude, my guides have taught me, is one of our highest vibrations. It's right up there with love. So when we experience gratitude in any way or form, right, we're raising our own vibration. We're choosing to become brighter versions of ourselves. So I love that. I think happiness is tied to gratitude in such a powerful way.
It's a theme in our house for sure. So I love that you chose that. Okay. Second word is healthy.
So with that, I think, you know, I always think of like the triangle of how we're spiritual light energy in our physical bodies. And then the third part of that triangle is our free will. So the choices we're making. And I think so often we don't honor our own light in the sense that we're not making healthy choices for ourselves. And whether that's a healthy emotional, spiritual, or physical choice, we need to be mindful of all three of those, right? So an unhealthy physical choice is like when we're not being mindful and we're just eating maybe junk food. I mean, think about when we take food into our body, that's the most intimate thing we can ever do here physically. It's becoming part of ourselves.
I love that you said that. I've said that so many times. No one else has said that out loud. Thank you for saying that. It's like your skin and your eyes and the whites of your eyes and the hair, like your.
Yes. And let's talk about the fact that we're about, you know, 65 to 70% made up of water. Let's talk about the water we're drinking and what we're bringing into our body, and are we drinking enough of it? Right. So we start to become mindful of like our physical vessel and taking care of it in healthy ways. I think we brighten our energy. And then there's also like being healthy emotionally. And sometimes that starts with that very small voice inside that's being mean to yourself. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, that inner voice can play out a lot of fears and fears we have about ourselves and be really mean. So it's talking over it. You know, it's saying, no, I don't accept that. And that's not the truth of it. My truth is this. And even if we don't fully believe it at the time we're projecting that thought back to ourselves, it doesn't matter because we will receive that message on this kind of cellular level and it will be important. So I think being emotionally healthy and making those choices too. And, you know, if you're ever having this moment of like, how should I handle this one situation? Should I be like a mean and take like the kind of petty path, or should I rise above and take a loving one? Love is always going to be your higher path, right? So it's like nurturing that part of yourself. You know, it's like that old like story about, you know, there are two wolves inside of each of us, a kind one and a mean one. And, you know, it's like a grandfather telling his grandson, and the grandson says, well, which one wins, which one grows? And he's like, whichever one you feed. So it's like nurturing our own self emotionally and also spiritually, because I think our emotions are so tied to our spiritual self. I think so many people ignore their spiritual health. They just are like, well, I'm not going to think about what this is or what my existence is or my spiritual responsibility to myself or others. And I think a lot of times people confuse spirituality with religion.
Yes.
Like, I follow this doctrine or, but no, spirituality is just acknowledging that we're spiritual beings and that we are part of this great collective of life and that we're here to love and be loved. And what does that mean for you on a daily basis? And how are you expressing that? Right. So it's like honoring yourself as a spiritual being. So I think there's like a triangle of energy at all times when we talk about our own health. It's both physical, emotional, and spiritual.
Yes, 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 yes.
I mean, I'm getting on a service to each other. So like anytime you choose to be of service to somebody else, you're making a really healthy choice for yourself.
See, acts of service. That's my love language. That works out really well. One of them. Okay. Next word. Wealthy.
I think we look at wealth in, you know, maybe some false ways here. I think wealth is so often tied into stuff, like materialistic stuff, like, you know, this great car, this great house, or having like the latest fashion or doing that. I think I look at wealth in a very different way. I'm not knocking enjoying life here and having aesthetically beautiful things and celebrating that, but I don't think you can ever truly be wealthy unless you really like yourself. Unless you're making choices that make you proud of yourself, unless you know you can rely on yourself, because then you are wealthy in all the ways that matter. And I think wealth and power often get confused and misaligned too, like in the sense of like, well, wealth gives me power here in the materialistic world. If I have all this stuff, or I have all this power, I can make people work for me. I can make people envy me. That's power. That's wealth. And I think, no, that's really the wrong blueprint, because true power and true wealth is coming here, program with your own specific and unique gifts, finding them, honoring them, sharing them with others to help teach others to do the same for themselves. Because again, like, we all rise together. We're all in this together, right? So that's what real wealth is realizing there'll be enough for everyone. There is abundance and we can share and be kind and be cognizant of our role in this great fabric of light and energy here and how we influence others. So to me, I think influencing others in a positive way and making the world a better place in whatever way that might mean for you, for whatever day or month or year, that's what true wealth is, you know?
Mic drop. You should really be an author, speaker, international bestseller. Okay. I only have two more words. You're like, how long is this list? Did I tell you that? No, it's 67 words long. No. Okay. Next word, wise.
Wise. For some reason, I always see like an image of an owl with that, right?
Oh, yeah.
So symbolic and beautiful. I think wisdom always comes at a cost, right? Mm-hmm. We can't have it until we've experienced maybe the path that's not our highest, or a sense of loss, or something that doesn't work out, or understanding ourselves on a deeper level. And this is why I think so many people get angry at themselves or think, oh, I just wasted all this time in this career or this relationship or trying to make this happen and it didn't work out. That's never wasted time, because we're always developing our relationship with ourselves, which is truly the most important relationship we ever have. And we're gaining wisdom. We're gaining wisdom into our own choices, our own, you know, what we need to monitor within ourselves. Maybe we've done some things where we're like, oh, that wasn't a good choice. That was a selfish choice, but it's not necessarily wasted or bad because you learned from it, you know, understanding and recognizing that most of life consists of teachable moments, you know, and gaining that understanding about our role and our connection to others, I think gives us great wisdom. And I think also understanding how little we know is a form of wisdom.
There's that. Too.
Yeah. So in that sense too, like people who say, nope, this materialistic world, unless you can see it, touch it, taste it, it's not real. Well, that's lacking a really great amount of wisdom there, right? Start delving into like quantum physics and see what they start telling you about the nature of existence and what we can see and not see. With that will come wisdom, you know? So it's, I think gaining wisdom is always being a lifelong learner and always being on an exploration where you're trying to find out things and ask really good questions.
Yeah, that's everything. Just more mic drops. Okay, this is the last word, free.
Oh, it's so beautiful. You know, with that, I feel like, I want to say like, none of us can be free until we're all free. And I think that we again just need to understand the interconnection of all beings. And I think being free of stereotypes we put on ourselves too, and free of the materialistic paradigm is really important.
Yeah.
What I do know is that when people have near-death experiences, NDEs, and they are free of their physical bodies, they describe it at like, it's nothing we can understand here because they're so free of all the burdens. And what we take with us is love. We don't take the stuff. We don't take what was said to be wealth, or we take those experiences and that love with us. So I think when we're free of the physical body, that's when we're truly like free of all of that. I think that there are ways to become free in the here and now. And it has to do again with your relationship with yourself and not getting caught up in the confusing messages or false senses of power or wealth or what have you. And so I think freedom, again, it's always within us. You know, there have been people who have been sent to prison and been in, you know, solitary confinement, but have found ways and written about ways that they found how to be free within themselves in those moments.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I think freedom is maybe one of those words where we tend to look at it in a very physical way, like who is free, who's free to choose, who's free to do this. But what I do know about our spiritual selves is we all have the right to be free and to make those choices. And so it's a very multifaceted word. I love that you chose it.
These are my five just favorites. I love to hear how people elaborate on them, because sometimes it's just a one word answer. And then other times it's like what you've done, where you just go deeper and deeper. And anyway.
And what I just heard is we're all free to choose. And I think maybe that's the most important thing, like the story we tell ourselves about our lives or our connection to others.
For sure.
Or our connection to our team of light, you know?
That too.
Yeah.
Are we also free to muzzle our dog, our Labradoodle that's barking at the highest pitch back there? Oh my gosh. Maybe that's our sign to wrap it up. Okay. You are an absolute treasure. And I am so thankful to know you. And I'm thankful for your books. And I'm thankful for your time and your big mic drop moments. I just appreciate you so much.
Oh, I appreciate you too. And I always feel that the universe is always guiding me to connect with certain people. And what a blessing to meet people, right? And
yeah,
this world is so full of people. So anybody you get to know and you are guided to connect with, I think it's really important to celebrate that. So I'm so grateful to know you. You are a shining light. You're helping so many people through having gone through your own grief journey and still being on it, right? Because it's always a journey, but you're using that to teach and help and heal others. There's no higher path, you know, than that. It's so beautiful. So I just want to honor that about you as well.
Thank you so much. Oh, okay, let's go to dinner. Thank you so much for listening to Shockin' Y'all today. This is a passion project like no other, and it wouldn't be possible without your support. Please like, download, follow, share, which sounds like a lot, so maybe just one of those will suffice. Please check out my online programming at sweatandstillness.com. Grab a copy of my best-selling children's book, Yoked, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I hope you gathered plenty of light nuggets and personal downloads from today's episode. I will see you next time. Okay, I love you. Bye.